Good morning and welcome to another edition of Claiborne Baptist Church Sunday morning worship. We're starting a new series this morning as our previous series ended last week, and that was 3 Twice 2. And this week we start a new series entitled Echo. And you'll hear what that is all about this morning. And if you need a title this morning, it's simple: Echo the Introduction. And we'll look at a few scripture passages throughout this series. And it's slightly different because this is a conceptual exposure, where the previous series focused on the book of Proverbs. And we'll be looking at a number of varying passages from the scriptures. You can turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, reading from verses 13 to 25. And as you are turning there, allow me just to share what the big idea is for this entire series, and especially for this sermon this morning. And here it is. The big idea is that we should imitate Christ. And when I say echo, I simply mean that not only do we speak His word, we also mimic His action. And so God sets the agenda for us, not only in terms of precept and command, but He also sets the agenda for us in terms of His lived example as recorded in the Gospels and theologically expounded upon in the epistles and other writings in the New Testament. And so I'm looking forward to this, because I think that we could all do with a little bit more of imitating Jesus. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, we're going to find out in the scriptures, starting today. And the scriptures read as follows. 1 Peter 2, reading from verse 13 all the way to the end of that passage, which is verse 25. Reads as follows. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. This is what you were called to, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled the insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Pray with me shortly. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to commit this time, commit these people, your congregations scattered throughout over this virtual space. And I pray that you bless all of us, dear Lord, Father, as we listen to your word and also as we commit to submit to your word. Do with us as you please in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to share with you three short points today, and I really am going to try and keep it short. And these are three echoes that this particular passage that the Apostle Peter highlights in this passage. And of course, there's a lot more to say about it, but I want to highlight three echoes that he highlights. And so the first echo is the echo of contradiction or paradox. The second echo is the echo of suffering. The third echo is the echo of forgiveness. And these are three thinkings, words, and actions that we can follow Jesus in, because this is the example that he has set for us. And it is a higher form of functioning. It is prophetic, and it heals rather than brings chaos, anarchy, or destruction. Before I get into expounding on these three echoes, allow me just to go to verse 13, which is a difficult passage in a day that is characterized by some of the political ongoings that we are experiencing right now, not just here in South Africa, but all over the world. Look at verse 13. It says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men." So I want to say a very short thing about submission and its place within a Christian ethic. In other words, how we respond to our reality or our world. Now, submission is an important concept in Scripture. And at some point when I preach on marriage and tackle the very thorny issue of submission from a wife to her husband and the dual submission between one another, the difference between those, I have a few things to say on that. So please listen on in the future when we do cover that particular concept. But submission as a Christian construct generally is very important, for we are called to submit ourselves to God. And here I want you to understand that in both senses of the word, God is using it in the Scriptures. So the first sense is that you submit yourself, you present yourself. When I was studying, doing my theological degree at the Cape Town Baptist Seminary, we would get regular assignments, academic assignments, and research papers and so forth. And there would be a due date, and it's a submission date, is what they called it. And on that day, I've got to hand in, it could be before that as well, and I submit the work that I've put into this particular paper, answering the questions that have been presented to me. And I submit my paper, and that submission is assuming that there will be some type of examination, that there'll be a process of marking and review, and then a grade would be assigned to it based on its quality. Now, that submission can be summed up with this idea of presenting oneself to be examined. And when it comes to God, all Christians are called to present themselves to God to be examined. Excuse me. And we are called to self-reflect and examine ourselves, but because we are imperfect beings, it is even there that we fail to properly examine ourselves. The Holy Spirit assists us. The Holy Spirit illuminates certain of our deficiencies and our failures and our fallennesses, but we present ourselves to God, we submit ourselves as this ongoing experiment and assignment of salvation and sanctification, and we say, "Lord, examine me and give me a grade, for I have certain blind spots, I have certain areas that are unknown to me, and I think that I'm doing well in one area, and that might be the case, that's a strength of mine, but I've got another weakness that it's so weak, I don't even see it or know that it exists." So we need peer review, and we also need God review. Accountability on both levels. That's the first sense of submission. The second sense of submission is a submission where I say, "Listen, I respect your authority." Now, when it comes to any human authority, when I say human authority, I'm defining that by the sense that it's an authority that has a human face. I'm not talking about direct divine authority, God's authority, or the authority of the Word. I'm talking about authority of someone that's real, tangible. I can speak to them. I can see them. They are real people in this very real existence of ours. Any such human authority does not receive your and my submission solely on the basis that that authority exists. It receives as its basis my submission to that authority, first and foremost, for the glory of God. Listen to what he says in verse 13. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake." So I'll submit myself, understanding that you have got power and that you have authority to rule and to administrate. That's usually what authority is for. And it's supposed to be for the greater good of the community, if it's a small community, or society at large, if it's some type of governmental administration or power. But I submit to it, irrespective of its moral efficacy and efficacy, irrespective of whether I voted for them or not, irrespective of, regardless of whether they've got a great track record or not, the point is, I submit not because of them, I submit because of God, for the Lord's sake. And so I want to challenge every single believer that's hearing this today. When I say submit, it doesn't mean that we ignore the deep failures of some of our officials. That's part of our job as citizens, and it's also part of our job as Christians to stand for truth. But we do so with giving everyone due respect. That's everyone. We should never lose our Christian decorum. We should never lose the ability to speak straight, but to speak with respect. And the ultimate respect, of course, is the truth. But we never diminish people's value by name-calling or reducing the effect of their job or their calling to nothing in my estimation. We continue to engage respectfully, even if it be directly and truthfully. But we submit, we present ourselves to God, of course, and if there's legitimate authority, we present ourselves also to that authority, even if we would disagree. And so, Paul is very clear here, and he says, listen, you need to echo this general idea of submission, and you need to respect people. So, let me give you the three points that I've mentioned earlier in my introduction. So, the first one is the echo of contradiction. Look with me at verse 16. And verse 16 reads as follows. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Now, the contradiction or the paradox that I'm referring, and the contradiction is not the same as a paradox. But people would see this as a philosophical contradiction, but it's nothing more than a paradox. Something that seems contradictory, but isn't. And so, yeah, what Peter is saying is, listen, you want to live as free men, unencumbered by your circumstance. Now, what he's saying here highlights the possibility that no matter what your circumstance in life could be, whether you are a slave in that strata of society, an indentured worker, a low-paid laborer, without many social options, or whether you are a high-functioning executive in a Fortune 400 company, you live as a free man. And the only person that sets the agenda is God Himself. Now, the contradiction is not to live as free men, but to not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. That's not the contradiction or the paradox. That's just the warning. And so let me reiterate that warning and echo that warning again, is that in Christ you are set free. And the freedom is from the bondage of numerous expressions and manifestations of sin and to sin. Your freedom in Christ is never an excuse to sin. I notice that's become fashionable these days. I'm Christ-centered. And then we say, I'm so Christ-centered to the point where as long as I worship Jesus, I can commit any sin that I want to. You cannot. That is a contradiction. But that's not the main contradiction that Peter is referring to. I want you to understand that the second part of verse 16 is this paradox that he refers to. Live as servants of God. As Christians, we live in constant tension between these two realities that we are called to and mandated to. The first one is that we are to live as free people. No one else sets the agenda but God. Secondly, we are then to live as servants or slaves of God. And here's the paradox, that you find your ultimate freedom in this life by being a servant or a bond slave of God. To be yoked to Jesus, Matthew 11, you would find that it is light and easy to be burdened with His burden, to be attached to Him, to suffer the sufferings of God, to go through the Via della Rosa with Jesus is your freedom in every other part of life. Try to unshackle yourself from the cross. Try to move away from Jesus. Try to yank your hand away from His, and I promise you it is a recipe for disastrous bondage in your life. You have got to be someone that can echo the contradiction and the paradox of and the tension of being a free man and yet finding that freedom in bondage to Jesus Christ. Bondage to anything else is idolatry. Bondage to Jesus is one of the highest forms of worship. The second contradiction, or the second echo, rather, that we find is in verses 20 to 21. So the first one is the echo of paradox or contradiction. The second one is the echo of suffering. Look at verses 20 and 21 of chapter 2. It reads as follows. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. And so, this echo of suffering is, in Peter's words, what we have been called to. I need to echo the suffering of God. The Apostle John also says this in 1 John 3:16, that we are to follow, we are to mimic, we are to replicate the sufferings or the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We are exhorted to not suffer because of our own sin or our own wrongdoing. We get no credit for that. And I know sometimes we confuse suffering as the just reward of our sin. And we confuse that with suffering for the sake of our innocence or the cause of the gospel, our missionizing activities. I would much rather us not suffer at all. I would like a country and a world where we are free to preach the gospel, stand on street corners and make our case for repentance to Christ. I would love a world where we are able to enter into the airwaves and not just be relegated to a subculture of Christian media, but to be part of the public square discussion on every forum and on every issue. But even if we are not, and even if we are persecuted for our stand for the gospel and for Jesus Christ, that is a worthy cause for which to suffer. And I want to ask you, to follow in your calling, to, if need be, suffer for the gospel. One of my favorite preachers of old, I read his sermons regularly, Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said that many people are apathetic spiritually because they are not suffering for the gospel. And a little bit of suffering for the gospel will help you to appreciate the gospel. And to this end, you were called, because Christ set the example by suffering for us, and we should follow in His steps. So the first echo is an echo of paradox, and we live in that tension between being fully free men and slaves of Christ, and that's where our freedom is to be found. And then the second echo is the echo of suffering. Suffer for the gospel. Jesus sets the example. And then number three, this possibly is the hardest one of the three for me. Maybe part two would be difficult for you. But number three, for me personally, this is where the rubber hits the road for me. It's the echo of forgiveness. Now, look at verse 22 onwards to the end of the passage. So it defines the reality of Jesus' person and ministry, and then it speaks about His response to that ministry. So when they hurled, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. So in other words, He was completely innocent, righteous, and pure. And when they hurled the insults at Him, He did not retaliate. In other words, the very vitriol, the very lies, the very injustice at which they attacked Jesus with, Jesus did not retaliate. He did not echo that. He understood what he needs to echo. Jesus himself said, I only say, I only do what my Father tells me to do. And this was in question when he healed someone, and the Pharisees, those ultra-religious people who couldn't see God standing right before them, accused God himself of breaking his own law. How ironic. And Jesus says, look, you don't know what's really happening here, but I can tell you, I only do what my Father tells me to do. Jesus understood divine mimicry. He understood what it means to echo the eternal. He understood what it means to only do what God calls us to do. And it's hard to do what God calls us to do, but it is worthy. So Jesus does not retaliate, which is to mimic the bad thing. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Two things I want to say very quickly. Number one, we could be wrong. Sometimes we confuse our just reward for our own sin as persecution, and when it's not, it is just the result of my own choices, consequences, and actions, which are not always as pure as we think they are. And then number two, even if this truly is an unjust attack on you or me, the way we respond is not always just. We retaliate. And two rights do not make a wrong. That's why Jesus encouraged us in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen, I'm prophetically telling you this is how I will turn the other cheek. In fact, I'll give my entire body to a cross when you don't deserve it. But I'm exercising grace, mercy, and favor upon you. And I would like you to accept the offer to accept me as the Son of God and as the sacrifice for your sin. And based on that, my non-retaliation, but my submission to the call of salvation for humanity and creation at large. And if you can accept that and submit to me, then you will be saved. So that's Jesus' response. And he calls us to the very same a response. We've already covered suffering. We've already lived in the tension of allowing God to set the agenda for us. But this last echo is one of forgiveness and to entrust justice to God. Let me tell you that God is no man's debtor, and that no one can upend the Father, and that when God finally does proclaim judgment, it will be worthwhile. Now, even there, I've prayed prayers of retaliation, not even that long ago. I said, Lord, smite those sinners. They don't know what they're talking about. And then immediately after I say it, the Lord speaks to me and convicts me and says, that's not the attitude, brother. And I've prayed with a hurt in my soul and my spirit, this prayer, even not that long ago. And I said, Lord, the reality is I don't want anyone to go to hell. No one. In fact, I don't want anyone to experience major discomfort here on earth right now. And so, Lord, if you are able to turn an enemy, a foe, into a friend, a brother, or a sister, then do so. Let me not, with my own sense of retaliation, my own fallen sense of justice, stop you from a work of grace in someone that needs it. That was Jesus' attitude. Pray for me, I'll pray for you, because I pray it sometimes with a hurt soul, not fully meaning it, but I know it's the standard, and so I push through trying to get there. I'm still on that journey, and I'm guessing many of you are still on that journey too. So, there it is, your three echoes for this sermon. So in conclusion, I've penned a little poem that wraps the sentiments of the series and this particular sermon as well. I would call it artistic expression. Maybe that's an overreach on my part, but it is what it is. And let me read it for you. I hope that this has some value for you. So this is the conclusion to the sermon. It wraps everything up. God speaks. God seeks. God, the eternal subject, searching the creation for predestined object. An object who will serve as reflector. Take the message and serve as booster. Disseminate and amplify is the correct and proper reply to a creator God challenging you to ask why. Not the why of doubt and disease or the general trend of life and all its sleaze, but rather the why of committed devotees. We speak what we are told, making the divine mystery unfold. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Persistent copying is discipleship mastery. Lord, may we do thy will, feast on this understated thrill, thereby satisfying our full. My echo is incarnation as dictation. The holy scroll as fire in my orifice, birthing oracle demonstration. It is the consequence of reverberation. My gifts, my talents, my mannerisms, my strengths, my weaknesses, my metabolisms, impregnated by power and purity, creating sanctified idealisms. We are called to reproduce, grow and multiply, constrained in ethic and content, yet released to fly, to let loose the manifestations of his glory, again and again telling others that old, old story. My echo is my broadcast, if you will, a biblical newscast. It's different from person to person, with varying degrees of immersion, assertion, and incursion. My echo has a distinct personality, taking its command from Jesus, yet still me in totality. The echo only works if fully appropriated and incorporated. If not, the echo is mutilated and unaccepted. There is relatedness between his message and my character. Consistency in this regard makes me an effective narrator. A living, breathing echo chamber, repeating the Savior, repeating the Savior. Who am I that I should be repeated? Even the Apostle Paul refused to be retweeted. Follow me as I follow Christ, or don't follow me at all. I am not he who was sacrificed. I am painfully shallow, substitute to echo. Man's leadership will settle you in a spiritual ghetto. Follow his voice and become his family.